So it's 6:30, so I'm going to call the meeting to order. So first of all, we want to introduce our new member, Terrell, and she's going to take the oath. You want to tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, Terrell, before we swear you in or swear at you?
Let's see. I'm trying to figure out what I can say. So I'm Terrell Clark. I'm a Stearns County Commissioner. I'm in my sixth term, my second time of being chair of our board. We are in my district right now. I love this library. I love libraries. I can't say enough about libraries. And we had our little granddaughters here this weekend for story time, and lots of book finding, which was good, and these microphones are a little crazy. And that might be all you need to know for right this second. But.
And you're following Lee? Is that correct?
I'm following. I said earlier that you can't replace Lee, so but I can't follow Lee. I am much more boring, although our six-year-old granddaughter made up a song about thank you for fun this weekend with me. I'm not her grandfather, I'm sure. I'm sure it was all about me. I can make a six-year-old think I'm fun. I don't know about anybody else. Lee is colorful enough that he can give other enjoyment. But really honored and glad. I always wanted to be on this board, and I'm glad to be able to do so.
Great. Should we go around and introduce everybody after or before we swear Terrell in? Does that matter?
You're the chair.
Okay, let's start with Wayne, who's checking his phone over there.
No, I was going to pull up the rest of the agenda. Wayne Bauer-Schmidt, citizen rep. Or Wright County, last meeting.
Oh,
yeah, we're sad.
That's what the cupcakes are about.
Yeah. Jim Chauvelin was one of our Wright County representatives, and his wife made a wonderful apple dessert, if I remember right. Well, yeah. It's not that.
Wayne.
And also, I have my wife here. She's wondered what I've done for the last 9 years.
Don't tell.
And anyhow, my wife, Katie, she's a librarian at Buffalo Middle School.
Welcome.
Yes.
Teresa?
I'm Teresa Dahl, citizen rep for Wright County.
I'm Lynn Gruing, citizen rep, Stearns County.
Tina Diedrich, Wright County Commissioner.
Tara Clark, still Stearns County.
Laura Kangas with ARVIG, and I am the community rep for Sherburne County.
Karen Ponsack, director.
Jane Dietz, citizen rep for Sherburne County also.
Patty Lemetsko, administrative assistant.
Sadia Anjum, Stearns County citizen member.
Ed Pop, Benton County commissioner.
Lisa Phoebe, Sherburne County commissioner. Also my last meeting due to my election loss.
Sorry. Bobby Casper, Morrison County commissioner.
Al Amdahl, Stearns County citizen member.
Melissa Fee, Wright County citizen member.
J.C. Wallace, Wright County citizen member.
Brianne Fruth, I'm the Communications and Development Coordinator.
I'm Jamie Trenum, Associate Director for Collection Development.
Brandy Cantor, Lead Patron Services Supervisor.
Kara Langston, Regular Patron Services Supervisor.
Thank you. So Taryn's going to help read the oath there. Is that correct?
I guess you want me to read it.
Just read it.
Did we decide, should I stand or okay sitting?
We're not quite that official.
Up in front, Carol. Or Carol, up in front.
Okay, I'm not doing
right in the middle.
With all due respect, I'm going to see how far you can get me to do things, right? Thank you, Ed. All right. I swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Minnesota, and that I will faithfully discharge the duties of the Office of Trustee of the Great River Regional Library System according to the best of my judgment and ability.
Welcome.
Yay.
Now
term I can sign
it. It's official. Woo-hoo. Okay.
About time, right? Thank you for your patience with all of us, too.
So, number three, adoption amendments. Anything on the agenda that anybody has questions about or would like to change? Otherwise, I'll call for a motion. Accept.
I move to accept.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second.
JC, any further discussion on the agenda? Hearing none, I'll call for a vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Approval of the minutes from September 17th. It's been a while. Any questions about the minutes, or is there a motion to accept those?
So moved.
Second. Get all that, Patty? Any further?
Tina?
Did you second it?
Yep.
Got it? Good? Yep. Okay. Any further discussion on the minutes? Hearing none, I'll call for a vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next, number five, we have the appointment of a finance committee member.
And that needs to be Tara.
Oh, that's easy. Thank you. They meet at 5 o'clock, yeah. Hopefully.
I just got to do the preview, right?
Yep. Yes, you did. So welcome, Tara, to that. Next, we have open forum. There's one person on the open forum. Mr. Wilson, would you like to come up and give the microphone? Is that working?
Oh, yeah, I should get that.
Peter Wilson, state your name and address.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Peter Wilson. I live at 1108 Celebration Drive, Sartell, Minnesota, 56377. I have spoken before on the desire to give you books and have been rebuffed. I have spoken about donating books here and requesting them to be in the child's department. That, even though there are books that are, how can I say, graphically inappropriate, you will not take books regarding why the graphically inappropriate books are there. They didn't come out of the sky and float in the door. They were introduced starting back 50, 60, and 80 years ago in the process of changing things. I want to make available to children the opportunity to read why these books were introduced. And I'm being rebuffed. So I now have to refer to this august body as the book banning brutes. Or let me give you a book, pay for it, put it in there, and if people don't check it out, it moves on. But if you don't allow them to read about this, one of the most brutal things is the increased issues with people confused over gender. And the increase of roughly, 20 to 30 times the confusion and the problems and drugs. So, again, give them an opportunity is what I'm asking. The last part of this before my time ends is the issue with DEI, which I heard about one of the last meetings. Hopefully, with good fortune, that racist, sexist concept ends. I recommend you end it yourself instead of trying to get on the board in these positions because I feel that that is the past. Thank you.
Thank you.
I've got to go.
Is there anyone else for open meeting? Hearing none, we'll close the open meeting forum. And on to financials, number 7. Bills were emailed and there was an addendum on the table over there. Questions about the billing, the bills? Can we take those as a block, or do you want those all separate, Patty? They can go together. So it's the bills, the financial reports, and the current letters of credit. There's two of those.
Madam Chair, I move that we accept 7-1, 7-2, and 7-3.
Okay, is there a second?
No, second.
Okay. Al, any other questions about the bills, financials, or the current letters of credit? None. I'll call for a vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Next we have the consent agenda for number 8. Information about the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund was on the table. We don't have anything other for 8.2. So we do need to vote on that if that is accepted. Karen, do you want to just mention a couple things about that fund? Anything different that in the fund?
This is state funding we received for arts and cultural heritage programming. This is the interim report. We are about halfway through spending our fiscal year 2023 allocation. And then once that's completed, there'll be a final report. We receive them on the state fiscal year. So pre-COVID, we were spending the fiscal year in the same calendar year, and we've been about a year off since then. Staff are doing a really great job, and you can see the high level of attendance in that interim report. It's pretty amazing how many people are touched by this funding. So.
Any other questions for Karen on that? Otherwise, I'll call for a motion to approve.
I move to approve.
Melissa, thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Wayne, second. Any further discussion on that? Hearing none, I'll call for a vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. 9.1, communications. We're going to talk about our audit again, right?
This is the official letter that was signed moving to the audit firm to Schlenner Wenner. It's on page 15.
Thank you.
And it was a really long letter, but we've historically always included that letter as a piece of information for the board to see. So,
how much more is the audit's less, right?
It's They're less cheaper. By moving to this new firm. And we did send a letter of appreciation to Bergen KDB and Nancy Schultzenberg for all of her work with the library system up until this point.
Question, Ed?
No.
Okay.
Madam Chair, is it a two-year contract or is it just 1 year?
At a time? It's 1 year at a time, but they did give us pricing with the proposal. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Clarify. Thank you.
And that's not an action item. It's just $23,000 for the first year.
Well, you took action on it, I think, in September.
Yep. Right. Okay. 9.2, the Minitech strategy priorities and goals. Any questions on that? Page 29 in your packet.
So there's two state library agencies. There's State Library Services, which is part of Department of Ed, and that's who administers our state funding. Minitech is housed in the University of Minnesota structure. It is the agency responsible for things like interlibrary loan. And so, and data, Elm databases and a variety of other resources that we get at a state level. So this is their new strategic priorities that they just formed. And we've been really leaning into over this last couple of months the connect people to lifelong learning because they have launched the new Minnesota Library Learning Network, which will offer different courses for library professionals across the whole state to take advantage of for free. And that's through state funding they receive from State Library Services. So it's a great partnership that's happening, but it's an agency we rely on pretty heavily, and we're a strong partner within that.
Any other questions about Minitech? And we'll go on to 9.3, the Minnesota Library Association 2025 Legislative priorities. And that's on page 31.
So these are the priorities that were passed by the Minnesota Library Association in October. And you can see a lot of what's on here is things that we've talked about in the past. We want library construction funding. The most recent project was Howard Lake that received that funding. So there's a lot of need across the state, and we want to continue to see that funded. It should have passed with the bonding bill last session. Didn't pass. Maybe there'll be a bonding bill. Maybe there won't. Looking at education finance and thinking back to this Minitech document, so that second bullet point under capital investment, higher education, asset preservation and improvement funds, this is in relation to higher education academic libraries. So it's a different funding stream. And then the $2 million per year e-library Minnesota resources, that would impact Minitech as well. So some of you remember the acronym CMLE. That's a multi-county, multi-type system. They are asking for their increases to be indexed to inflation like public libraries were. They also want to increase school library aid to improve school library media specialist programs. The multi-county, multi-type library systems also show up under education policy. Minitech is asking for more operational funding and funding for the e-health library. We're asking for the reinstatement of library reappropriation of library legacy funds in the next session. That needs to be reappropriated every biennium. It's a two-year cycle. And we are asking for slightly more dollars going into that fund. And then out of the metro area, there's a strong sense that local governments should have the ability to ban weapons in their facilities if they are public libraries. And this is not something that's actually allowed under current state statute. So schools have a carve-out exception. You can't have a gun in a school. Public library is treated like a public park under current legislation. And so we've talked a lot about how this looks different in greater Minnesota than it does in the metro, but there was actually an incident down in the metro area where a staff member was shot. So there's a lot of emotion around this particular plank in the platform. But the proposal is to allow government, local government, to make that decision. And so I think we can support the idea that local government, local control is where those decisions are best made. I'm not really sure whether this will move forward, but it is something that the Library Association felt strongly about.
Great. Thank you for those updates. Any other questions for Karen on that? Hearing none. We don't have 9.4. We don't have any other communications. Yep. 10.1, digital library, verbal update. Jamie's going to take that.
Yep, this is the high point of the meeting.
No pressure.
Make sure, yeah. Highlight
we'll see if the technology actually works.
Oh.
No, we just turned the front lights off. And then, this is all the new lighting, right?
Yes. Ooh. This is our dollars hard at work.
Yeah. You can turn the lights off in half the room. It's exciting. And it works the first time you hit the button.
Yeah.
It's a novel experience.
Also exciting. There's a button. I might have turned it off. Yep.
Okay.
Maybe I'll have to hold it.
If I don't, that's better. Okay. Can you hear me through the mic okay? Mm-hmm. Wonderful. I like to be able to see people, so I don't want to hide behind the screen completely. Well, good evening. My name is Jamie Trenum, and I am the Associate Director of Collection Development. So all things that you can check out from the library, including digital materials, fall under my purview, I guess. That feels really weird to say out loud, but it's true and has been true. So I know that the board has had some questions about the digital library, and so I'm hoping to give you a broad overview tonight, as well as allow some time to answer any questions that you have. When you go to our website, griver.org, there are two, well, you can't see my cursor, but up on the top we have two buttons that take you to various e-resources. So we have databases, and those are typically the factual information, the articles that you're using to research material, and then ebooks and more. Within ebooks and more, we do have five different resources where the bulk of our ebooks and audiobooks are hosted. I'll give you an overview and then we'll dive into a couple of specific resources. So eBooks Minnesota is a resource. Karen had just been speaking about the e-library and how Minitex supports that through state funding. And eBooks Minnesota is a great resource. It's open access. You can download or access ebooks primarily for kids, mostly anywhere in the state. You don't have to have a library card. It's geolocated, which is kind of cool. If you're on your phone and you need something, you can access it even if you don't have your library card in hand. MinWrites, MinReads is also a resource that we promote. If you are an author or you know someone in your life who wants to publish an ebook, it is an ebook publishing platform. It walks you through that process. And if you're into reading local, you can read really local. When you publish your ebook, you have the option of sharing it with the library community. So those are not as heavily used. The three main resources that we use here at Great River for ebooks and e-audio, Libby is the main source. We also have Hoopla and Tumble Books. Those two are a little different in that they are subscription services. So we'll dig into what that looks like and what that means.
So through the past year, for sure, you've heard Karen talk about the difference between Libby and Hoopla. Libby is also known as Overdrive. I'll just say that out loud. Libby is the app. Overdrive is the parent company. And we sometimes refer to our Overdrive collection, but they are one and the same. Hoopla is one of those subscription products. And so we'll talk a little bit about the differences between them. Libby is ebook e-audio. Hoopla adds music and video. And we added this service in 2020 so that we could offer streaming services. We were exploring that before the pandemic, so thank goodness we were ready to rock when the time came. There's a main difference, though, that with Libby, the librarians are actually choosing titles to license. Whereas Hoopla, you can kind of think of it as Netflix for libraries. It is a package deal. What you see is what you get. They are moving to different models, but we choose to go with the simultaneous use model, which means there are no waits, which is great if you need something now. It is instant. With Libby, on the other hand, it is a one copy, one user model. So while there is a perception that it's in the cloud and everyone should be able to access it at the same time, the way the licensing works is that we have to purchase individual copies just as if it was a physical item. With Libby, we pay by the license, and Hoopla, we pay by the use. So that makes budgeting kind of interesting. We do get to set some limits, which is why we have a 4-item download maximum per card per month. And we also get to set the price point. So materials can run upwards of $4.99, for example. But we can set that target to say we want to offer ebooks and e-audio up to $1.49, for example. Another main difference is how the state treats each resource. So when I'm talking, or Karen is talking about how the digital library is going to exceed St. Cloud in circulation, we are just talking about Libby. It's that one resource. The state looks at Hoopla as an electronic retrieval, so it treats it like a database, which is really interesting. It just doesn't count the same. So digging into Libby, which is the main event, that is where the lion's share of the circulation occurs, there are two main types of licensing. And I'm bringing this up because I think that the board has been curious. We've seen it in our financials that our fixed assets aren't going up as quickly as we might think, and this is because of the impact of the licensing. So perpetual use means that the content doesn't expire, which is nice. We get to keep it. We do have to ask the publisher for permission if we move it between platforms. So we own it, but it's not like you own it like a book. It has some limits. It can be recalled by the publisher as well. It's rare, but it does happen. The majority of the ebook on collection, on the other hand, is metered. And there's different models for that. You can have metered by time or metered by use. There's also a hybrid model. So Simon & Schuster is one of the big five publishers, and they may choose it's 2 years or 54 circulations, whichever comes first. There's also a newer model that is by checkout by concurrent users. So it's the closest we can get on Libby for that instant experience where we can buy a bundle of 100 checkouts, for example, for a particular title. We did that with Fourth Wing and Dear Jacob because the publisher actually offered it, so we were able to work through that hold list more quickly, which is wonderful, and we love it when the publishers offer it, but those licensing terms are set by the publisher. If you were curious about, like, I tried to make a chart. I tried to take a screenshot of some things that already exist. It's really complicated because there are 5 main publishers. The terms are different between publishers and between format of ebook and e-audio. But if you want to take a deep dive, I've got a resource for you. You can see me after class. So I think going back to this slide, that is something that folks don't expect when they think about the library, is that that content expires. It just goes poof after a certain amount of time or a certain amount of uses. Another surprise that people have is the difference between consumer and library pricing. So this is a study on Spirit Crossing, newest William Kent Kruger. A lot of you might have already read it or you're on the waiting list. There's a difference between pricing, obviously, between physical and digital. Well, it doesn't matter if you're a library or if you are an average consumer. It's going to cost you $28.99 list price. Of course, we can find sales. If I want to buy that ebook for the library, it's $60, and we get to keep it for 24 months. Well, clue you, you know, a physical book, we keep it in our collection longer than 2 years, right? But if you are a consumer and you go to Amazon, you look up this title, you can get it on your Kindle for $14.99. So there's something off here in terms of how the pricing models are structured. On the audio side, same type of deal, physical CD, $45.95. The e-audio tends to be more expensive. With this title, I was super pleased that we were able to get a bundle of those 100 uses to work through a hold queue faster. And then for the Amazon consumer, you can actually only get the audio as an Audible exclusive member. I'm not, and I don't know how much it costs per month, but it's just an interesting under-the-hood look of how those dollars don't spend as far when we're talking about digital resources. So when Great River is deciding which resource or which license model to choose, we look for the most cost-effective model, of course. It is determined by the publisher. On the ebook side, they're mostly metered by time. On the e-audio side, it's mostly perpetual, but some are starting to be metered by time. So the market changes often. When I first started, there were no metered by time audiobooks. And you can see the difference between cost per copy. So this has an impact on how the collection grows. So this is a snapshot from the end of each of these years. With ebooks, because they're metered by time, they expire and we have to repurchase them. We don't repurchase all of them. We look at how they're being used and we'll repurchase them if someone is waiting for a title. With e-audio, we don't have to repurchase that same title due to it expiring. It's that perpetual use. So what's interesting to me when I pulled this out is you can see we have more ebooks than e-audio. And I know that was a question that came up is what do we have more of and what do people prefer? The collection, the ebook collection doesn't grow as quickly because we're constantly churning. We have to repurchase. Whereas with e-audio, it grows slowly, but there are more titles to choose from every year because we get to keep them. So that's one of the differences on how those terms actually influence the growth of the collection. In terms of how we use Libby at Great River, we've heard about the exponential growth. So between 2019 and 2023, it has exploded, 78% growth. I think any business would be happy to claim that. I did put 2024 on here only to demonstrate that this was through the end of October, and we have already exceeded last year's usage. Another question that folks have asked is use by branch. Super curious, right? This is self-reported, so when people install Libby, they get to choose their home library. So it's not super surprising to me when I think of this is 2023. St. Cloud had almost 90,000 checkouts, followed by Elk River, St. Michael, Buffalo, Monticello. You know, these are our locations that have high population, and they are connected to high-speed internet. So this trend, I looked at the past 5 years, and while those middle branches jockey a little bit, it has been the same. Cold Spring came in at number 10, which I thought was really interesting. So they are busy physically and digitally.
Amy, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
So as far as the St. Cloud you differentiate St. Cloud State students?
No.
Are they, you have a mix there at all?
Or is it? I can't say how many St. Cloud State students have library cards. Because they have the same borrower type as a resident, because they are spending time here for an extended period of time. And if you can receive mail, you can get a library card. It's actually not probably high. I just had a meeting with one of the staff over at the SASU library, and she says, you know, our students want print books, actually, and they're looking for ways to partner with us to get more library cards into the hands of students. But good question. And then the biggest question that folks had is, and I know Zuria in particular was asking, are there, you know, do people use more ebooks or more e-audio? And so the dark orange, I wish I had a laser pointer or something, but the dark orange is our ebook usage. And you can see back pre-pandemic, the ebook usage was higher. What is interesting to me is that that dark orange bar goes up and down a little bit. This actually wasn't that surprising when you think that 80% of our patrons are visiting the library for physical books. When we hit 2020, the digital audio started to increase. And I thought, well, this might be a flash in the pan. People are trying it out because they have to. But that growth ended up continuing, and audio has now exceeded ebook. It's also interesting because there is an inverse relationship between the digital and the physical for audio. I've been able, it took up until 2022, but we moved funds from the digital audiobooks into the physical audiobook budget got moved partially into digital because people are not using the physical audiobooks as much. And you can understand why when you think of how many cars come with CD players these days. If you've used a digital audiobook, it's super seamless. It syncs across your devices. So whether you're on your phone listening in your earbuds, or you get in your car and it syncs to your car, you're always with something to listen. One thing that I will share as well, so when we decide how many copies on that previous slide, how many copies to buy, we do use a hold ratio. So we do buy slightly more e-audio than e-books, in part because that is what is being used more heavily. So with our physical materials, we look for a 1-to-6. We have one copy for every 6 requests. For digital, it really depends on the amount of funding I have to work with for that year. We have Brianne and her department do an incredible job with fundraising. And so this year, we were able to work with a 1-to-8 ratio. In the past, we've done 1-to-10 or even 1-to-12, which is why it can take so long when you're waiting for a digital ebook or e-audio, unless you go to Hoopla. Then that Hoopla is on demand. The downfall of Hoopla is that I kind of think of it sometimes, it's great for music, but it's sort of like Netflix, or not Netflix, Tubi, or one of those free apps you get with your smart TV. It has some content, but it's not the latest and greatest bestsellers. There's often embargoes with the publishers, and so they don't let Hoopla have that primo content until later on, if it comes to Hoopla at all. So that's the digital library in a nutshell. I'm super passionate about it, and I can talk all night, but I want to be mindful of the time. Are there questions?
What's your budget in 5 years?
What's the budget?
Yeah, for ebooks and e-audio.
So in 2020, let me see, in 2019, I have those numbers. Let me disconnect.
Jamie, I'm kind of kidding.
I'll clue you, Wayne. There is a discrepancy between what is budgeted and what is spent. And in large part, it's because of fund development. We were at like $96,000, I want to say, in 2019. We budgeted about $150,000 this year, but I've spent $300,000. But that the difference is a fund development. We had that amazing designation that the board allotted us last year from the 2023 surplus, and there was legislation change, and so we were able to leverage our regional telecommunications aid dollars. That's priority two, so it's not always a guarantee that those dollars will be there, which is, you know, it's hard. This is our greatest growth area, but at the same time, it's one branch of a greater library system. And so we do the best we can to meet the needs of everyone. But it's a tough balance. And if you have ideas, I'd love to chat with you. But right now, we're just really leaning hard into those alternate revenue sources. It's a good question, Wayne. Thanks.
Jamie, do you have any sense of what is the demographic that is using the e-books and the e-audio?
No, I wish I did. I have met young people who say, I absolutely will not read on a device. And I have met senior citizens who say, I live by Libby. So I don't know that we can say, you know, one of the determining factors is, do you have access to high-speed internet? And we can see that in the usage stats. Little Falls is up there, but, you know, Todd and Morrison counties generally aren't as represented because they don't have the connectivity, and there's higher poverty rates in those areas. Because even if people have access, it doesn't mean that they can afford it. Yeah. Well, thank you.
Thanks, James. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was interesting.
That is interesting.
Report. So we're on to 11, staff reports, 11.1, executive director report. Page 33 in your packets.
I'd like to highlight the work of the DEI team. You see the little word cloud that was pulled together by Katie Whitney, who's the facilitator for the group. The team just got started, and they're working on defining what does DEI actually mean at Great River. And from all of the concepts that came from team members, this word cloud evolved. And I love that patrons big and in the middle, because that's really what it's all about, is creating those welcoming spaces where people can access what they need. And I feel really confident that this group is going to be able to do some really substantial, meaningful work as we go forward. Let's see. I think that was probably the one thing I wanted to make sure to call out in the director's report. So.
Okay. 11.2, management reports on 35. Any questions? We have some staff here. Direct questions for them about that? Or anything, Randy or Kara, you'd like to say about those
hiring,
reports?
Hiring.
Okay. I'll say I'm really excited that on Monday, I'm going to be meeting with the Cold Spring Building Committee along with the Cold Spring LSC. So, fingers crossed that helps move everything forward. But that is something new that's come up since I wrote my management report.
Oh, can you talk about Youth Council, too?
Oh, yes. The Youth Council has met. We now have a teen from every county, which is really exciting. It was really interesting to have them sit and look at the statistics. The sort of statistics kind of from their survey that went over the summer. So we're really kind of trying to get them back online. We recruited more teens, but they're very energetic and very excited about libraries. And yeah, it's really one of those things. I'm really excited, and I look forward to every time I get to sit on Zoom with a whole bunch of teenagers.
Kara, how many have come back from last year, first year that we had that?
Gosh, most of them did. We had a few that were not able to. And I'll be honest, the few that weren't able to, I think it was maybe three off the top of my head, they were really apologetic. I think they really wanted to come back, but just, you know, weren't able because of other personal commitments. Which is another thing I've learned, trying to schedule a one-hour meeting that, like, all these kids can come to, or young adults can come to, it's mind-boggling. So, they just have so much going on. They're really involved in their communities and their schools.
Great. And what age groups are they? Like, you call them teens. Are they, like, what high school level? Or?
Well, we have a lot of homeschoolers. I'm trying to think what the youngest grade level is, because we do ask so that we're making sure that we're hitting. Do you remember off the top of your head,
Karen? We advertised it for 6th through 12th grade, mm-hmm. but I think our 6th grader last year is probably a 7th grader this year, mm-hmm. if she stayed. So,
yeah.
I don't know if we have anyone younger this year.
I don't know that we do either. Hmm. It's one of those things that I look at when we're going through the applications and things like that, but then after that, they're a name on the I'm not looking at their application materials afterwards, and they all, no matter what age they are or what grade or whether they're homeschool or rural versus urban, they are, almost all of them are contributing and jumping in and asking questions. It's really a very lively group.
And are you going to bring them back to talk to us sometime next year?
They're excited to. They've already been talking about what they might present. So they were really excited about it.
Okay, great. Thank you. Brandy?
So with my report, a couple of things. The M3 huddle, like, I know people, like, if you say data, let's do a data retreat, a lot of people are like, no, I'm going to run away. I'm not going to be there. But seriously, M3 huddle is an extraordinary thing. Kara and I were both trained in last year to be presenters for that. And M3 is making meaning with multiple data sets. And it's basically a guided process to look at the programming you do and how you can make it better and more meaningful and more impactful. And it's I'm so excited. Like, this is a dream come true, many years in the making, that we finally had our first M3 huddle. So just, it's awesome. And so kudos to all the staff who were willing to come and play with us that day. And then I had talked a little earlier in the finance committee about the AMHS work groups and delivery work groups, and that's just some future forward planning that we're looking at about how to kind of try to future-proof our work, you know, in how we move the collection around the region and how we move it within a library. And we've got some great stuff that's come out of it.
Thank you. Brianne?
Yes. So from the communications and development report, I also wanted to give an update on where we are at for our 2024 year-end campaign. As of yesterday, we are at $21,264 toward our 94,000 goal. The letter that went out to our donors of the last 3 years went out on November 1st, and so this is really the first wave of gifts coming back from them receiving it. And so we have 276 gifts with an average of $77 per gift. And we are at 20% board participation.
Looking for more board participation.
So, Madam Chair, yes, I think we have been working on getting board participation involved in this for the past few years since I've been on the board, and Lisa and I are both on the Fund Development Committee, and we would like to make this as something that the board 100% participates this year. It is not the amount of the dollars, it's the amount of getting your name in to show our patrons and our staff that we are all invested in the library. So we make this appeal every year for to the board members. We would like to ask you again. It's not the amount of money you contribute, but it's the fact that you contribute, and we would appreciate it if we can this year get to the 100 point. We haven't gotten there as yet.
Yes. Let's do it this year.
What percent were we at last year, Brianne? Do you remember the board? About 80%? 60?
Yeah, it was 80-something last year. So we're really close, and we've improved every year. And whether it's 5, 50, or 500, or 5,000, choose your number. Let's do 100% this year.
And the whole board received that letter, correct?
So and I got two to my home address.
Oh,
I
have special.
I have another board member's one, so I don't know who I need to tell to correct the address. But
Brianne.
Okay. It was Teresa's came to my house. So.
Oh, Teresa, did you know?
So that's why you didn't get one.
That's cool. So can you correct Teresa's address there? And when is the campaign done? Or you need?
End of January.
End of January. Okay. So I was thinking before the end of the year, if we could get that in, it'd be nice to have that ready for the January meeting that we had this 100% board participation. $5, $5,000, I don't know where you live. Okay, anything else for management reports? Building reports? Got that new library in Howard Lake?
Yeah, and thanks to everybody who showed up for
the really nice
open house. That was fantastic. I was really proud to have so many board members there with the state librarian there. So thank you.
Thank you for doing that.
And thanks to Tina for saying a few things at the last minute. Thanks to Brianne for organizing the whole thing, so. Or going along for the ride with the local folks, however that worked out. Strategic plan, are we on 11.4.
Objectives.
This is end of September, so we're a little 41. Past that. But as Jamie 43. Mentioned, well, let's start at the beginning. Bar numbers are looking pretty good. More than last year. Hopefully we continue to see that growth. We're up to 98,000. Pre-pandemic, we were over 100, so I'm hoping someday we can crack that number again. You can see the breakdown on page 44 of the new borrowers by library. We still had more new borrowers than last year. Before the pandemic was a thing, we were talking a lot about borrower retention and how it wasn't unusual for somebody to sign up for a library card and never come back. So I think we are re-entering that thought now, like with all of these new borrowers, how do we keep them in the system? And since then, we've added different levels of contact through MessageBee. We've added renewal reminders and different processes. So I'm hopeful that we can keep the people who have already signed up for a library card. If you go to page 47, you kind of see where the circulation stats ended at the end of quarter three. This was the stat that Jamie was referring to. If you look at St. Cloud Public Library, they circulated by the end of September 364,599. At the bottom, you can see overdrive was 345,669. If they continue on the same trajectory for the next couple of months, we will see the overdrive circulation surpassing the St. Cloud Library for the first time. So what that means for us long term, I'm not sure, but it's worth noting. St. Michael is still looking strong, and Elk River is hanging in there. They might catch them again. Once upon a time, Elk River used to circulate over 300,000 items. It'd be really cool to see them at that level. But even breaking 200 this year, I think it'll be a stretch. Buffalo, same thing. Think back to Jamie's chart. A lot of those circulations used to be DVDs and books on CD. That circulation's not coming back. So it's hard to say how physical circulation will continue to play out over time, and that's going to impact a lot of different things down the road. But overall, you know, the region still is down about 3%, but if we could get St. Cloud to the point of actually increasing circulation year over year, that would change the regional number because it's still the biggest chunk of physical circulation. So we're definitely looking into the next strategic planning phase is how can we best invest in our biggest libraries, because that's where most of the people are coming, so that we can keep the region growing instead of shrinking. And the small libraries will benefit from that too, because the things we do for the big libraries, we also do for the small. But thinking about it at that higher level, I think will help us better hone in on what patrons are looking for. Page 49 and 50 are our key performance metrics, or at least the way we thought of them when we created this last strategic plan. You can kind of see it mirrors some of what we just talked about. Digital library is where the growth is primarily. Circulation per open hour. When we went fines free, we assumed we were going to boost that. It has not exactly happened that way, but we also added open hours at the same time. So we do a lot of messing with things, and it messes up our metrics. We talked about resident borrowers. Miscellaneous receipts was another assumption that going to fines free was going to reduce revenue, and it did, but not as much as we thought. And, you know, people are really engaged with our different platforms, whether it's social media or e-newsletter. People are continuing to add subscriptions and opening what we sent. So, you know, it's a lot of areas of success. We talked about giving already, and I don't know. It's just been a fairly stable year when you look at where we thought we were going to be and where we are. It's just some places I'd love to see more growth, and we haven't touched on that yet.
Thank you, Karen. Mm-hmm. 11.5, staff recognition report.
Well,
I hope y'all look at the very bottom of the
very
list.
Bottom of the list. Yes. We're calling out.
Wow.
Yeah.
And all with Karen, or you did have some other executive director?
It's what, maybe a year and a half where we didn't actually work together directly?
In the same building.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for your service. You do a fantastic job. Thanks for all the emails keeping us.
Nicole is no longer here, but she's also celebrating her one-year anniversary in December, so that's kind of a big deal, too.
Yeah, she's been excited. She's been saying, I've almost been there 1 year when JC and I were working with her. Almost been there 1 year. So she's very proud of that.
Yes.
I wish she was still here. We should have thanked her when she was here, and she's leaving a little bit early. And 11.7, other, we didn't have anything there. Is that not correct? And then we're on to committee reports. 12.1.
Did you want to do engagement survey at all?
Oh, yes. Did I miss that? Yes, I did.
Sorry. I won't spend a lot of time on this.
Page 53.
I'm assuming people have looked through it. What you should know is we had, last year I think we had 11-ish people put their name to the survey, and we did a follow-up meeting. This year we had in the 20 range. I'm working through the people who couldn't make it to the meeting and meeting with them individually. So I've talked to 18 people post-survey once I'm through those. You know, we have a really engaged staff. That continues to be true. We had some major personnel issues happening in multiple locations this year, and you can see the toll that took a little bit on the metrics here. But overall, I think people are doing pretty well. We did have a new question about people making decisions about their work, and that's one I think that, you know, speaks to empowerment, and I'm hoping we can see some growth in that over the next year. Really proud to work in an organization where people generally are mission driven. I think if you look at which page is it? The one that is the best in my mind. It's the one that people say page 66. We consider 51 employees our library aides. And over 50% of people strongly agree that they are here, determined to give their best work every day. I mean, it just speaks to the quality of people who come to the library system, whether it's the leadership team level, at the coordinator level, at the front desk, behind the scenes, shelving books. People are here because they know the library matters. And that's a really cool thing.
The one person that strongly disagrees with me, I choose to believe that they
just picked the wrong box.
Love it. Any other questions on that?
Madam Chair, I just had a question for the question on page 62. The fact that there is some people who are dissatisfied with the culture of my workplace, that is a little bit concerning to me. None of the other ones have that many people that talk about anything strongly disagree. So do we have any idea what is that?
This survey was running when there was a major personnel issue happening in this building in particular. And so I think we've reached the beginning of the end of that. And I'm hopeful that, you know, what's happened will, you know, we have had some turnover and changes in leadership at the St. Cloud Library. And I'm really hopeful about the people who are stepping forward and filling those roles.
Thank you.
Great. See those numbers next year at this time, then.
Yeah,
correct?
We'll see.
Okay.
There's some white whales in here for me, but.
11.75 other. We don't have anything there, do
no,
we?
Sorry.
So now we're on to committee reports. 12.1 finance. Ed, do you want to tell us what happened this earlier?
So we met at 5 o'clock and we went through the third quarter financial reports. I believe they were in your packet. And then we did the projections for the 2024 budgets. Would look, we're going to have a surplus. We fund designation request. We moved about $350,000 to the reserves to the 2026 budget. An automated handling material or automated handling system needed some money to start building to replace some of their stuff in there. So we did that. Madam Chair, I move approval of the financial report.
Okay. Is there a second? Lisa, any further questions for Ed about the Finance Committee? Hearing none, I'll call for a vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. 12.2, Personnel Committee. JC?
So the chair. We had our Personnel Committee meeting at 5:30 today. We did approve a change to the HR generalist position description, and we made it FLSA non-exempt. And we had talked about that at the last meeting, and that did get approved. And we also did the executive director annual evaluation during the closed session. And I would ask that the board, that the board accept this report.
Is there a second on that?
So moved.
Zaria, any further questions for personnel? Hearing none, I'll call for a vote to accept. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Fund Development Committee, we already had a little appeal about donating from Lisa and from Zaria. Any other things on the fund development? Have you had a meeting lately? Or
we did have one in the middle of October.
Okay.
Yes, and we kind of talked about how the whole plan is going to be for sending out the letters and then working on the appeal. And then in January, we were to meet to thank donors and write those personal letters and sign those cards and send those out. About it.
Anything else on that? Okay.
And we do make some calls coming up. We'll be following up with some calls, committee members, to some of our donors. So,
okay. Yeah. Very good. That was just a verbal. We don't need a vote on that. CMLE, we have a new chair of CMLE.
I signed two checks today.
Hey.
I'm officially on the bank accounts, and you are off. So I think
we'll
call that successful transition. Mark was down at the MLA meeting and at the statewide multi-type meeting for the first time. Mark Schmitz, who's the head of resource training and solutions, he was there with Melissa Bershon. She was kind of passing the baton, and he and I are meeting next Monday to talk about the December board meeting. So I think things are finally feeling like they're stabilized.
We're getting home.
Yes. So credit to Jane for weathering the storm of the CMLA chairmanship last year.
Yes, and thank you to Karen, who took over as chair, or was voted as chair, because I'll be stepping down eventually in the next year, so we didn't want to have any kind of interruption.
And Lynn's secretary. So.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you, Lynn.
And Resource Training and Solutions, we have another abbreviation. We call it RTNS, so we'll have to put that on the abbreviations list.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even know that one yet.
It's so much easier. RTNS. So if you hear us say that, there's so many different abbreviations. Terrell, you're going to love them all. So
what? I serve on that board. I know that.
Yeah, yeah, I'm really excited about that.
Yes, great.
Don't get too excited. Okay. I do know the acronym.
So your next meeting is
December 11th.
Okay. And we'll have pick out board members. We didn't pick out our board.
Right? No, that right. Groups. The terms for CMLE run through June.
So it's kind of a little different.
Yeah.
All right. 13 unfinished business. 2026 to 2030 strategic planning committee appointments. This is the verbal.
So I'm hoping we could get 3 board members who are willing to serve on a strategic planning committee starting in January.
Who has done it in the past?
Nobody. We've never done this before. Oh, boy.
So how often will that meet? Can you tell us a little bit about?
Well, the goal would have a draft plan in place by October. So it will be similar to Collection Development Committee last year where we met. We'll have Zoom options. So my vision, if you remember, is there's a committee, includes board members and staff. And then underneath that will be, like, library services coordinators who supervise big libraries. And maybe the DEI team and the fund development committee. And they will be making recommendations for the strategic plan. This committee is going to pull it all together. So I'm just hoping to have a couple of up to 3 board members on the committee.
Only 3 because it's quorum or something?
I would, yeah, if you get to 4, then I have to start counting who's on the committee, and then we'll have fun elections in January. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Anybody want to step forward? I think I would like to do it. Tina? Is there anybody else?
Depending upon the
day?
Yeah. Well, yeah. How frequent are going to be the meetings?
By October. So.
Yeah, it at least once a month is my guess.
Okay.
And you're gone in the summer, usually?
No, but depending, I'm open to it if it works out with the time schedule.
Okay. So that's 2, 3, and I'm the third one, or somebody else is dying to be on that committee?
You're not on any committee, so you would not be a quorum issue. Unless you're going to be on a committee in January, which is possible. But
sure, I can be on it.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
I think we'd be okay there, right, okay. Patty?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, because there is not on personnel.
Yeah, well, that's 3, right? Tina, Zuria, or did I miss somebody?
Tina, Jane, Zuria, and Laura.
Oh, Laura.
Jane. Yep. Jane. I've got 4, but I think that works.
Then we can always, that way if somebody's missing or something, too.
Yeah, because that happens.
Okay, it's first time. Something new. 13.2, anything other in unfinished business? We're having nothing there, right? New business, the Great River Regional Policy Review, Conflict of Interest. This is in our packet on page 73. It is an action item.
There's no changes recommended. It's just part of our let's try to get all the policies reviewed in 3 years cycle.
Any questions on that? Hearing none, is there a motion to accept that policy revision that was not revised but just updated? Review.
So moved.
Tina, is there a second?
Second.
Lynn, any further discussion on that? Hearing none, call for a vote. All in favor of accepting that policy, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. 14.2, library open hour adjustments on page 79 in your packet. Karen, you want to just speak to that? It just looks like they shifted everything.
I've got 2 people who know more than me.
Go ahead, Kara.
I supervise the staff in Little Falls Swanville, and in preparation for this, you know, I think when earlier when you said what have you all been up to, and you said staffing like that has been going on for a while, especially in certain locations. So right now we're recommending that Swanville go back to its, is it 2021 hours? Yeah, so we added in 2022. It's just been increasingly difficult to staff at that level. So just as sort of a an example of some of the things that we've done, since Little Falls and Swanville is a combined branch and the staff go back and forth between those two, that's one of the locations where we've moved aid hours to assistant hours. We had several failed searches, and then I believe we had someone who was there for 2 weeks. And so at that point, we decided, you know, okay, we can't staff this. Let's try and move it into assistant hours. And, you know, maybe it will make things a little bit easier. I had, Karen, thank you for looking this up for me. I must have kind of blanked out how many times we've tried to fill this position since 2022. It's 5 times. I think the longest we've had someone stay was 3 months, and that was over summer reading challenge. And, you know, we've gone through and we've looked at the schedule. We've tried to make it more even. You know, we've tried to be, you know, more flexible. We've tried hiring without listing a specific schedule. And so we're really at this point. Basically, Karen, Nicole, Jade, the LSC, and I sat down. We looked at what our past hiring pools have gotten. We looked at what current staff said they could work. And we really tried to just come at this from a whole new angle instead of keep throwing ourselves at this problem in the same way. Reducing these hours will mean we're going to change some of how the days are set up. And what that will mean is that we'll have more evening coverage and an additional hour on Saturday. So we'll close Tuesday, but both Wednesday and Thursday, the library will be open until 7 o'clock. I've heard reports from many staff that they get a lot of people coming into Swanville right as we're closing because they're coming back into town from work. And that kind of matches up with what we see on the heat map, which is that pretty green and red. The red is the busiest time. The greens are the less busy time. So you can see those evening chunks on Wednesday and then also on Saturday. You know, those are those times where people are really trying to get in. So this will kind of have a two-pronged approach of offering library hours open at a time where hopefully more patrons would be coming, but also something that could smooth out our schedule so that it's something that both current and a future staff member might be interested in. We have an open position. It's up online until the 21st, so if you know anyone, it's still open. But, yes, yeah, so that's the summary. Is there anything I'm missing from our conversations? Okay.
I don't think so.
And staff seems happy with the changes, or is there any?
I think change is always really difficult. But in my conversations with them, you know, looking at those morning hours on Tuesdays and Thursdays, you know, that's 214 people on Thursday morning, right? But that's across an entire year. And so the patrons aren't lying with when they come in and they check out books. So it's kind of being confronted with the cold, hard facts of when people are coming in.
And this is our smallest location. Okay. That is averaging, what did we figure, 2 people per open hour?
2 people per open hour.
So it's a tough call. Like, we want to keep this library open. It's not moving as much stuff as even the locker. But we have a commitment to this community to keep the library open. Mm-hmm. And when we added those hours in 22, we said if we can staff it, we will do it. But what we're finding out is we can't staff it because people don't want to work 3-hour shifts 5 days a week.
Right.
They want longer chunks.
So this schedule change will, across the board, have everyone at 5-hour shifts.
Okay.
if I can get that everyone on board. And that's one of those sorts of back and forth. I don't know what this new person might be interested in, whoever we are able to interview. Hopefully it's something that we can kind of plug and play with staff. And frankly, to speak to that, no, people don't want to drive out to Swanville for 3 hours. We've had that problem with subs as well. We'll be on the verge of having to close the library down, and I'll be searching for subs. And our subs are making that decision about whether or not it's worth their time to drive out there. And so having a longer, meatier shift, I'm hopeful we'll make that a bit easier, too.
Oh, we wish you luck.
Thanks. Fingers crossed.
Yes, definitely.
Fun to work with.
And if you know anybody.
Yeah. It's open until the 21st.
Okay, so 14.3, executive director. Brandy. Yeah. Sorry. Look up. Get the microphone.
Hoy Park is a little bit easier. We're not changing the number of open hours. We're just moving them around. Again, you can look at that heat map where the green is. That's less busy. And you can see Tuesdays are a madhouse in Hoy Park. They're just bonkers. And Monday nights are not. Monday nights are kind of a wasteland. And so taking some of those hours to put them where we can use them better and where we can alleviate some of that pressure on staff to get everything done in 3 hours is really hard. So trying to alleviate pressure and respond to changes in community use.
Thank you. And then you'll bring that back to us like next year sometime, or when do you reevaluate? The end of the year next year? Or?
If you would like, yeah, we can take a look at it in a year or two, but it'll probably take a couple years for changes to sort of flesh out and people to learn. I will tell you right now, like, that 5 to 6 p.m. Wednesday night, it could be a ghost land for a little while until people realize that we're open, and then it'll pick up.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
We do a full review when we do the library development plan, which will be in 2026.
Okay, so 2 years. Okay, now we're on to 14.3, unless you have some questions for Karen, Brandy. No. Okay. 14.3, what was that? Executive Director Annual Evaluation Summary.
So
we're going to have JC say a few words about that.
Sure. So after a comprehensive evaluation of Karen's performance, including feedback from both board members and direct report employees, the Personnel Committee is pleased to report that Karen has exceeded expectations in all six areas of review. Her dedication, leadership, and exceptional contributions to the organization have been evident, and we would like to formally acknowledge her outstanding achievements. We have discussed the results of the review with Karen and have provided her with feedback on her performance. Her contributions are highly valued, and we are committed to supporting her ongoing success. We also want to express our gratitude for her hard work and commitment to the organization. Thank you, Karen.
No speech.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. 14.4. Farewell to our departing members. It's going to be very hard to lose Wayne. And Lisa, do you want to say any words of encouragement for the rest of the people that are sticking on? You know, like.
Ladies first.
Thanks, Wayne. What do I want to say? I'm exhausted. Many of you know I just returned from a trip. So this board, I have to say, as commissioners, you are called to serve on many boards and many joint powers boards. And so the commissioners that are here, it's great to have worked with all the different counties, the six counties with commissioners. But we get assigned to this, or we choose someone from our board to serve on library. And I've loved serving on the library board. It's one of the best boards, and I attribute that to our community members. I mean, commissioners, I love serving with you, and I serve with all of you on many things, but the community members on this board are so solid, and I just feel like we're at such a great place, and, you know, we've been working on that for years. You know, I've served now for 8 years, and I've just seen that level of community member, board members just be raised over the years. So thank you for your serving on these boards as community members, and then also just our staff. You know, I chaired the board Karen and I survived COVID together. I chaired through COVID and George Floyd, if you remember back then. Yeah. So those were some really, really tough years. And we learned so much about each other as leadership. I came on to so many leadership meetings with the staff and learned about our staff in a different way. And it was such a privilege to be able to do that and to see what great staff we have. So just love our staff. I love our library system. And under Karen's leadership, I didn't want to leave, to be totally honest. I'm leaving a year too early because I would have had another year on the board. But that's the way elections work. So thanks to everyone.
You can always apply as citizen member.
You're going to stay in the front of it anyway.
We'll talk, Zuria.
Thank you, Lisa, for your service.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. We appreciate it. We do have a certificate for you. Wayne, do you have words of wisdom for this board?
I don't know about the words of wisdom, but it's been an honor. It's been a lot of fun. I have to say, going to the Capitol with Lee.
There's nothing like it.
Great fun. Mike Potter, I should say, meeting with legislators and such. The legislators know how important the library is, and that's a credit to the staff and you county commissioners that stay connected with them. And, you know, George Floyd and COVID, what about the boiler? What about the fire? What about
banned books?
Not to bring up bad stuff, but you know, Karen, you and your staff have weathered a lot. And even this, you know, book challenges, there's a lot of effort that went into it. And, you know, thank you all for rising to the occasion. So, yeah, thank you.
Thank you. You both will be dearly missed.
Yeah.
I'll see about getting leave.
Yeah. Made it, everybody knew.
Yeah. Lee opens doors.
And stories.
Yeah.
So we have open board forum. Anybody have anything to say? Besides happy Thanksgiving coming up. Appreciate y'all. And make sure you have your snow boots on when you come back in January. Or maybe when you walk out the door here. We don't know what it's been doing out there.
You ain't supposed to say that.
Okay. Well, thank you, everyone, for coming and a great meeting. So with that, our next meeting is January 21st. And I will adjourn the meeting at what time, Patty? 48. Thank you, everybody.